Okay. Things don't go to plan, but isn't that life? Things don't always go to plan. And as we come together this morning, I had forgot. In fact, I didn't have it in my diary that I was coming here today. It wasn't that Jenny sent me a message to say, we're looking forward to seeing you on Sunday, Jim. And I thought, oh, yes, me too, Jenny. and so quick Zoom prayer into God's presence. And what would he have me speak to you this morning about that can encourage you, that can put a smile on your face, that can give you direction, hope and pleasure? And so it's a big deal that I felt I needed to speak this morning, despite the fact that it wasn't in my diary. What can give us hope and direction in our life? You know, we all need it, and we all struggle to find it from time to time. But as I was focusing, I thought very much on this psalm. There are words in this psalm that will really speak to your heart. And when you're listening to me and you're thinking, oh, yeah, we're nearly done, kind of focus on the words of this psalm. I'm sorry they're not up on the screen to refer to them. But verse 5, it says, let all that I am wait quietly before the Lord. You know, this is the essence of what I want to speak about this morning. The absolute delight that we can find in the quietness of God. You know, there are little babies around the room, and I'm sure you guys that have got little ones would say, give me 5 minutes, okay? And that was a one-liner that my mum used to say all the time. For goodness sake, give me 5 minutes, peace and quiet. And it was always when the news was on. You know, she'd want to just listen to what was happening in the world. But Psalm 62 speaks, and the author, David, is having a bit of a rough time. People are saying one thing to his face and saying the opposite behind his back. And we find this in life, don't we? We think we have to choose very carefully who we choose to be our friends and who we choose to trust in and who we ask God to just help us to make a plan that we can be in that safe place. And the first point in this chapter that got my attention wasn't just be quiet and seek God. It was at the beginning, it talks about broken fences. And you know, if you've got a fence around your garden or around the park, it's there to keep you kind of private and safe and to keep others out. And when the author of the psalm refers to broken fences and broken walls, it is a clear message that we need to have those boundaries in place. Now, at the beginning of this year, we only have a small back garden, but it backs onto Paxton Pits. And lots of people walk by with their dogs and so forth. And we have a dog. But I noticed in January that the posts of our fence were starting to lean. And I said to my wife, I think we're going to have to do something about these posts. And then forgot about it until they were leaning a bit further and thinking, we must do something about this. And we got somebody out to give us a quote to replace the fence. And then we had the wettest 6 months of the start of this year, and the work was supposed to start in 6 weeks. Actually, it was 10 weeks, and by the time they started to work on this fence, it was pretty in a bad state. But the point being is, our dog, and we have a Springer Door dog who's a bit lively and likes to say hello to everybody, he had the chance to get out. and so we couldn't put him into the back garden. And of course, other people walking by, their dogs came in. And it was just crazy. So fences and walls have an important part to play in our lives. And we will put a fence up to protect our privacy. It's not a physical fence. It's a fence that we say, I need to just diary this protection in. At the beginning of the year, I need to book in dates when I'm at Sandy and dates when I'm doing other things. And of course, I've already explained to you that can go wrong. But it's important to have them, you know, so that, you know, for you young mums that are in the building this morning, you will need to build in a date night with your husband and partner, because date nights are very important. It's like that invisible fence. You can say, this time is just for us, you know, and so you put in a little fence of protection around that time in order to protect your marriage and your relationship. So there's all sorts of fences that we can find are in our lives. And the author here is saying, when they're busted, they ain't no good to anybody. And so keep those fences intact is what the author is saying. Wherever you think of a fence in your situation, make sure it's in good order. And as we were having our fence put up on the particular day when all the old fence had gone and put in, this guy walks by and he seems to be okay. And I said, you all right this morning? And he said, yeah, all right. And we got into a conversation. And I want to tell you about this conversation because further into the psalm, it talks about God's goodness, how we step into his presence and rebuild those walls. And to rebuild our lives with God's presence firmly established in it. Turns out this guy's name was Rob Reeves, and he, his mum lives in our village and was quite poorly. And so he came over from France to take his part of looking after his mum while they make service provision for her to move on. And I don't mean move on and die, I mean move on with medical care and support. So, and he came over for 3 or 4 weeks, and then his brother would come for another 3 or 4 weeks. And that's life, isn't it? We do what we can. But as he was explaining this, we got talking about God. And he gave me his testimony. And testimony is always great to hear because it encourages us, doesn't it? When we hear of Philip over in a field with 1,500 men, and he didn't tell you that one part of that that weekend was axe throwing. You know, I mean, not always going to go down well if you say to the people in the church, what did you do on Saturday? Well, I was throwing axes, you know. He kept that bit quiet. But this guy got a phone call from his mum. So we're going back probably 40 years. And his mum phoned him, and she said, you've got to come home. And at the time, Rob was sofa surfing. He was staying a few weeks here with this family and these friends, and then he'd move on when they needed their bed back or their sofa back. And he was just being a free spirit in that period of life. And he got a phone call from his mum. He says, boy, you've got to come home. Your brother has become a Christian. And he's changing all sorts of things. Peter's just, you've got to come home and sort him out. And so Rob being this kind of hippie, long hair sort of, you know, okay, talks to his brother. And his brother said, don't talk me out of this because I really have found some peace, some quiet, some direction, and some purpose for my life. And he had no answer to that. And he couldn't go to his mum and say, I've sorted my brother out. He's now all right. He's down the pub and he's having a drink and he's having a party and he's going back to his old ways. No. He had changed completely. And it was going to take more than a talk from his older brother to get him back to his old ways. So interesting, isn't it, that we think when people turn to God, that's a problem. That is something that is going to cause issues for a family or for circumstances. But actually, this brother simply said, before you judge me, read the word. Not a chance, he says. Not a chance am I going to get involved in this Christianity. No way. Anyway, he had to say to his mum, didn't work out as he wanted. He's really found something that is solid and substantial. And his mum said, okay, well, you tried. And Rob was impressed by what his brother's story was, but at the same time, he thought, no, not for me. Anyway, one day, he was staying at a friend's, lounging in a chair, and he could, as his arm dropped, he felt, there's a book down here. And he picked up the book, and it was Bible. And he started reading through the New Testament. And it, doesn't God work in some strange ways? Took my broken down fence to get a conversation with this guy, and then all of this comes out, and Rob became a Christian not long afterwards and decided he would take a Christian holiday, and but the holiday was, turns out to be a Christian mission to somewhere in Mongolia, and he thought it was just going to be, you know, chilling out and that sort of thing. But actually, he was having to speak to people about who God was. And it was a fabulous time. And they spoke a lot of French over there. And he then came back and became a missionary to France. And he has done that now for 35 years, where he church plants into areas of France that are always kind of urban based and finding difficult to establish, etc., etc. And so this guy, when he was called by his mum, come and sort your brother out, God sorts him out. And the story means that his mum is still now a little bit confused. She's got a lot older, very poorly, and she's saying, now both my sons have become Christians and are living the life. They found, both of them, that aspect in the middle of the psalm that says, he alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress where I will not be shaken. And I think that it's a beautiful thing that we can understand in a time right now we're living in. It's not easy, is it? We've got an election coming up. We don't know whether it's going this way, whether it's going to go that way. We're seeing trouble in Ukraine. We're seeing trouble in the election in America. We're seeing all sorts of things going on around the world and seeing all sorts of things going on in our own country, in our own town. But
I just want you to grasp this morning how important it is to have that rock that is going to be into your life wherever you go, that you can lean on God when you get a wobble or you get something going on. And as you move into your journey in this life, I hope that you'll be people who will choose to recognize that if you have that rock, it leads you to speak about that rock, the same as Rob spoke to me. And I don't know how good or bad you are at that, but I'm coming up for my 60th anniversary of where I became a Christian. 2 years' time, 60 years serving the Lord. And that serving has taken me into different places and different struggles and difficult times, I'd have to say. But the one thing that has remained constant is the rock of my salvation. The rock that Jesus is right in here. Whatever's going on out there, I can know He is my rock. And as we individually serve Him in the way that we can and the way that He calls us, last week it took me into a school locally, a year six in a primary school in St. Neots, were preparing for transition, moving from primary school to secondary school, and I was there to give them a little talk on what that might look like and how important it is to have this rock of Christ in what we do. And I was giving this talk, and there was a guy sat in the front row. He would be 11 years old, okay? And he started crying. And I thought, did I say something wrong? Oh my goodness. And I was feeling, oh, somebody took the lad out, and the teacher come back in, and I'd finished my talk. And I said to the teacher, is the boy okay? And she said, he was upset because I reminded him, not just of God, but I reminded him of his grandfather who had died earlier in the year. And, you know, I was taken aback, because this lad is just facing this, going into big school and all the rest of it, and he's struggling with the loss of his granddad, trying to make these things add up. And I asked the teacher if I could speak with him, and she said yes, and I was pleased to be given that opportunity. And I said to him, what's up? How's it going? What's ticking with you right now? Because if we have to learn sensitivity with people, and if I just went and said, oh, sorry, you're not feeling so good today, he wouldn't have had the opportunity to say what was hurting. And so by saying, what's up? He was able to just express, you've just reminded me of my granddad, and I miss him so much. And I was able to give him some thoughts that could strengthen his thinking into the rest of the day and hopefully into the next stage of his life. But the point being is we find ourselves in situations week in, week out, and if we have this sense of God's my rock, He's my rock, it means that we have to be able to express in different sets of circumstances what that means. And I don't know how good or bad you are at explaining to anybody at the bus stop or in the post office or wherever you are, if you strike up a conversation and saying, today, it's pretty unpopular to say that I believe in God. You know, you kind of get scoffed at and jeered at and thinking, you must be mad. But actually, when you have that rock in your life, you have something that is dependable. Something that does not move with the sand on the seashore of life that ebbs backwards and forwards. You have this rock of solid direction and hope. And if you have that rock, as I have that rock, and I've had it for 58 years, just doing the calculation, you have to be able to learn to express it. And so I say to this psalm, when you get a chance, to read it again when you get home, because it just enlarges something in your thinking, and it's a great news psalm. In it comes to the end in verse 11. God has spoken plainly, and I've heard it many times. Power, O God, belongs to you. Power belongs to him. And so this psalm's taken me through a journey of busted Jim, busted you, busted stuff, and it brings you to that point in the middle where it says, don't be broken anymore, get it sorted, and he invites you out to do that. And then at the end, he says, trust me. Now, can you see a picture of the gospel in there? Can you see when Jesus came and it was all busted? God sent his only son that we would have life and have it to the full. And we, in order to receive that, we have to say, Father God, I'm sorry that I've messed up. I keep messing up. But I keep coming back to you. And he says, that's okay, Jim. We all mess up. We all get it wrong. But keep it coming back to that central point. And then the recognition that he gives us life now in all of its fullness. That rock right now gives you life in all of its fullness. You know, you would often go into a church situation and you would say, they ain't that happy there, are they? Look at that. You know, do they need to throw some axes, or do they need to get it out of their system, or do they just need to express that God is great? And when you have that relationship with him, life is great. It goes from being dumb and ordinary to being wow and fantastic. And wow and fantastic means that we have received this fabulous good news, and what are we going to do about it? We become an ambassador for God. And how do we express that? How do we express that we are his ambassador right now? Where we go tomorrow morning, when we're going to whatever we go to, we are his ambassadors. And I want you to encourage you. Read this psalm. Bathe yourself in scripture. Allow the Holy Spirit to bang you about with joy and pleasure and all sorts of things that he does, that gives your heart a real pumping rhythm that says, yes, I've got this. I'm strong and I can be a champion, not because I'm naturally a champion, because that ain't the case. But in him, I can become a champion. And we can become overcomers. And we can become people that put a food bank at the front of our church. And we can become people that will say, do you need anything today? that is outside of your comfort zone. Because if we're his ambassadors, and we are, we should be ready to be there. There are people around us like that 11-year-old boy who are struggling and don't know where to go to get advice. When people come to you, Jesus' ambassador, they're going to get life message, wow, providing you're living it. Providing you're living it. So I conclude this morning that I give you this question. Are you ready? Are you ready for it? Okay. It is quite simple. Are you a good ambassador for God? Simple question. Or are you cruising in what it is just for you? Because he gives you amazement. And when you've got that amazement, it isn't that you get fat and puffy with it, all this goodness of God. It's so that you bring it in and you give it out. And so, if it's okay, can I pray? Can I ask you to pray with me this morning? Father God, I just want to thank you so much that your word teaches us in every aspect of our lives. It teaches us how to be a good mum, a good dad, a good neighbour, a good friend. It gives us discernment. It gives us hope. Your word is so important to us. And I pray, Father God, that we would choose afresh today to want to be a good ambassador for you. And that might mean some evenings switching off the television and reading something from your word. It might mean speaking to someone. It might mean baking a cake and delivering it to a neighbour who might be unwell. Your Holy Spirit, Father God, dwells in us and directs us, encourages us, builds us. I pray that we would choose to be in tune with that Holy Spirit. Even when England's playing tonight badly again, I dare guess. But Father God, even at times like that, when we're preoccupied with other things, give us other times that we can say, Lord, here I am. Speak to me and help me to grow in the wonder of loving you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.